starting our series today on the parables, and we started last week, so if you missed last week, head to the website and you can catch up there. But today we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter, is this working for me? Yeah, it is, there we go, let's go back, come on, there we go, Matthew 13. Let me read to you. I'm aware of time, so we're going to rocket ship this a little bit today. So later that same day, Jesus left the house and he sat beside the lake, and a large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and he taught as the people stood on the shore. And he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 10, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use these parables when you talk to the people? Now, we talked about this last Sunday, so go back to last week and you can catch up on this question. Why did Jesus teach in parables? And let me just summarize the next seven verses. Essentially, Jesus is saying, well, actually, there's some mystery here, there's some grace here, and if you have ears to hear and eyes to understand, you're going to notice what's going on. And that's a grace. It's a gift that you would have that. You are blessed if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Let's pick up in verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. This is the word of God for us today. The people said. So, welcome to what is regarded as parable number one, Jesus's first parable. Now, it's probably not the first one he ever told, but it is the first one that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record. If you open the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and start reading parables, this is the first one each time. And that is significant. It's significant because beginnings really matter in Scripture. The Bible is really big on the first arrivals of things. The opening words and the starting points often set the tone and the trajectory for how the whole story then goes to play out. It's like the first episode of one of those, you know, on Netflix at the moment, there's those like one series, one crime kind of thing where the whole series is just one big long mystery. I'm loving those. Well, it's like that. The first episode sets up the whole rest of the season of the murder mystery. Miss the first season, the whole thing gets a little bit tricky to understand. So when the gospel writers begin Jesus's parabolic teachings with this parable, each of them doing that, they are giving us episode one of the series. They're setting the scene and they're telling us about how this is going to work. It is the lens through which we are meant to read all the other parables. If we don't understand this parable, if we misunderstand it, we're going to misunderstand all of the parables. But also, if we understand this parable, then we'll do better to understand the rest of the parables. So just in summary, a farmer went out to sow some seed and threw it all over the place. And some fell along the path, some on rocky ground, some among thorns, some on good soil. Birds took some didn't grow so well, some got choked out, and some grew so well that it produced an amazing harvest. What a peculiar story. This is Jesus's opening to the world of the parables. A farmer who strangely, inefficiently with seed just throws it around, and there's some dirt, and there's some various outcomes. The disciples ask Jesus, okay, can you explain to us what's going on here? Why do you keep talking in these riddles? And we looked at that last week, but essentially what I want you to know if you missed last week is this. Parables are stories that Jesus would use to create an analogy in our minds that we can compare to the kingdom of God. They are a story so we can compare and compare to this picture he is trying to get us to understand. What is the kingdom of God? It's going to take all of these parables to fill that in. So, Jesus explains this first one. Here's his explanation. Well, this farmer is throwing out the seed everywhere. This message of the kingdom of God, it's going into all these different places. And all of these places, different things happen. And in three places, it gets met with opposition. But in one place, it grows beautifully and it produces a wonderful harvest. To be like that last place, you have to be willing to hear and understand. And so today, as we look at this parable of the sower, there's four pieces I want to take us through. Here they are. Firstly, God is generously at work sowing his kingdom everywhere. Piece number two, God's kingdom is met with hostility. Piece number three, the kingdom either doesn't get in, it doesn't get in enough, it gets tangled, or it grows. Piece number four, good soil is about being willing to hear and understand grace. So piece number one, God is generously at work sowing his kingdom everywhere. Now, Robert Capon, who we're leaning on a lot in this series, in his book, Kingdom, Grace, Judgment, in this he reflects on the parable of the sower, and he says this, this parable is not about soil management. It's about a reckless sower and a scandalously generous God. Now, just notice some of the words that Capon is using here, reckless and scandalously generous. This parable is called the parable of the sower. It's not called the parable of the four soils. It's named about the main character, this reckless farmer, this scandalously generous sower. He is the main character. The soil, good points, but they're just the points. Let's not make sure we get this thing around the wrong way. The main point is this main character of the sower who is doing this work, this farmer who is throwing seeds all over the place. I was actually going to bring some today and do some like theatrical stuff, but I just didn't want to clean up afterwards. So I'm just imagine that. But that's what's going on. The sower is just throwing these seeds everywhere. He's somewhat irresponsible as he does so. It's somewhat careless. It's quite wasteful. The way he's going about doing that. Now, so commenting on the nature of that sower, Capon adds to this. He says, he simply flings the seed around everywhere without regard to the condition of the ground. He's a crazy farmer, hopeful to the point of folly. Capon calls this the Catholic or the universal nature of this parable. By Catholic can be translated as the word universal, okay? Universal. There's a lesson in this parable, and it's a Catholic one. It's a universal one. The kingdom is at work everywhere, always, and for all. Not just in some places, at some times, and for some people. See, this parable is telling us about this kingdom that's getting flung into all places. It's getting flung into all people. Oh, I'm preaching today. There is no place that the kingdom is not being sown. There's no place that God is not interested in. There's no place that God is not invested in. He is looking to do work in all places. It would just do us so well to be reminded of that today. The kingdom is going everywhere. God's kingdom is being sown in you, whether you feel like you are worthy or not. It's being flung into your colleagues, into your schoolmates. It's being flung into your home, your work, your gym. It's being flung across your neighbor's fence. I know what some neighbors are like, but the kingdom is going there too. It's being flung into your most religious environment, and it's being flung into your most atheistic one. It's being flung into where there is doubt, and it's being flung into where there is hope. It's going everywhere. So the piece number one I want you to understand as we think about this parable today is that God is generously, generously sowing his kingdom into all places. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're standing here celebrating a baptism today because that's true. We're standing here celebrating all that's good amongst what's going on in our church because that's true. It's true. God is throwing his kingdom into all places. That is good news. But the parable also brings a cold, hard fact into play. Piece number two, God's kingdom is met with hostility. In this parable, all places are given the kingdom, but not all places receive the seed that has been sown. To address this, the parable actually talks about the hostility that the seed meets when it lands. Because it's true, God's kingdom is being sown in all places, but it's equally true, God's kingdom is met with opposition and resistance in all places. We're going to talk about the soil in a moment, but before we do, I just want you to notice that the seed met resistance everywhere it landed. Birds snatched it, the sun cooked it, and the thorns choked it. God's kingdom is the same. The devil, the flesh, the world, they all conspire against the work of the kingdom that's being done in all places. And yet what is so remarkable and profound in this mysterious parable is that the sower just keeps throwing out seed. Just throws seed out anyway. He doesn't withdraw in disappointment. He doesn't look for some safer soil only to keep his precious seed just in that one spot. He doesn't even clear the soil. Doesn't even pull out a weed. He just keeps flinging it into all these places. It's guaranteed to fail in some of it, yet he throws it there anyway. The parable isn't naive about the hostility that is in the world to the kingdom, but the sower is defiant in the face of it nonetheless. God is not put off by resistance. God's not put off by the resistances in the world, and not in others, and not in us. God graciously is going to sow regardless, even in our hostility, trusting that somewhere, at some point, amongst this whole field, it is going to grow into a fruitful harvest. Something living will come. Grace sows into the place of the down and out, hoping that something will still shoot up. Grace sows into the places where people aren't qualified, hoping that something will still shoot up. Grace sows into the place of those who are attacked, hoping that something will still shoot up. Grace sows into those who don't have all the right answers, where addictions still rule and have the number one say in how someone goes about their life. Still gets sown, hoping that life will come up. That is the wild, unmeasured generosity of the sower in this parable. He is sowing in defiance, not out of efficiency, but out of love. And so this opening parable gives us a crucial picture of the gracious nature of God and the nature of the resistance to his kingdom. He is a gracious God who is not careful or selective. It's grace without caution. But he's also the defiant God who keeps sowing the kingdom into all places, even where it's being met with hostility, that it may grow into something new and beautiful. Now, piece number three. We doing okay? Doing okay? Good. Piece number three, the kingdom either doesn't get in, or it doesn't get far, or it gets tangled, or it grows. So let's just think about these soils, okay? So we've just looked at how there's a resistance piece to this, but now let's just look at the actual soils. Let's think about these for a little bit. Firstly, in the hardened soil, the seed just bounces off and something else actually comes and takes it away. The birds take it away. In the shallow soil, yeah, it gets started. It begins to grow, but it doesn't get very far. And so the sun cooks this little plant and it dries up and it dies. In the thorny soil, again, it gets started. It begins life, But it gets muddled up and it gets choked out from becoming what it was meant to be due to the thorns and the weeds that were around it. And in the last one, in the fertile soil, here the plant grows beautifully and into a glorious harvest. So the kingdom either doesn't get in, the kingdom doesn't get in far, the kingdom gets entangled, or the kingdom grows. Jesus goes on to explain it. He says, well, some people are hardened people, and this word, this message of the kingdom, it just bounces off. He says, some people are shallow, and there's a veneer to their life, and there's not much substance under the surface. And so this gets in a little bit, but actually once a bit of persecution arrives or a little bit of hard times come, it doesn't do so well. He says, some people are entangled. Yep, it gets in and it starts growing, but actually what happens is it gets choked out by worry and hurry and idols, by the pursuit of wealth, by distractions. Just things choke out what is trying to grow here. And then he says, and some are open and they are listening and they are ready to receive what God is doing. So simply, these soils represent how every heart is. Hardened, shallow, tangled, and open. And let's be honest, we're all sitting here being like, I want to be the top kid in school, and I'm going, I want to be that last one all the time. But I have terribly good news for you. We are all four, all the time. The parable is not trying to say, hey, the top kids in class, they're the last one, and everyone else are the first three. It's not that. Jesus is saying, no, all of our hearts are all four of these things all of the time. We are all wrestling with all four of these things. Right now, we are sitting here and all four of these things are true about our hearts. Newsflash, they are all true. Our hearts are all hardened, our hearts are all shallow, our hearts are all tangled, and our hearts are open, all four. Now, I said last week that parables can be mirrors and they can be windows. Windows that show us what life is like when God is in charge. But they can also be mirrors. They actually reflect back to us and tell us about how we are, even when we maybe have a blind spot to see it. Here is a moment of the parable being a great mirror. You know, I have stories upon stories upon stories of Christ sowing something in my life, and my heart has been hard, and my arrogance has been abounding, and the devil has nipped away that which Jesus put there before it even got a chance to grow. I have stories upon stories of Christ sowing something in me, and it got a little in, but by week two, it was gone. My heart was just shallow. It never made it all the way in. And my appreciation and my care for what God put in me was lazy, and it was apathetic, and it was lethargic. I have stories of Christ putting something in my life and it just gets tangled up with other things. It gets tangled up with other stuff. My loves are disordered. My loves are all over the show. And there's other idols in my heart. My productivity and my busyness get the better of my story so often. Because my heart is entangled. And finally, I have stories upon stories of Christ putting something in me and it has grown into something beautiful, something wonderful, something fruitful that is tasteable to other people. Because that's what fruit does. Other people can taste it. All four. And I bet you do too, because this is the mirror of the parable. The parable is trying to say to all of us, it's not about the top, the elite, those who have got that last one nailed. It's about us realizing all four are the soils of our heart. You, me, the whole church, for all of our days, will always be people of these four heart conditions. It's just the way it is. It's the fallen nature that we live with and wrestle with and are burdened by. But there is gracious good news in this parable. Despite the fact that none of us can get our soils right ourselves, God is going to keep sowing the kingdom into us nonetheless. Nonetheless. Because he's the generous, reckless, crazy sower. And he's just going to keep flicking it out. Have some more. Have some more. Have some more. Let's talk about that last piece, though, because it is important. Good soil is about being willing to hear and understand grace. I just want to point out something that is so critical to notice. Nowhere in this parable can we quote Jesus saying, go fix your soil. Nowhere. Nowhere in the parable does Jesus say, go to the tool sheds, get out some equipment, put on your old t-shirt, and get to work in the garden. Isn't that profound? Nowhere in this parable does Jesus say, come on, all of you, you know what good soil looks like? Now get to work. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. He simply describes that God is this generously reckless sower, throwing his seed of the kingdom out into all places. The seed arrives in different places. Different things happen when it arrives, and there's hostility at each level. However, in that picture, there is a picture of what it looks like when soil is good. And he leaves us to just consider that picture. And consideration is the key. The word consideration means to give something careful thought. It means to contemplate it. It means to ruminate on it. Contemplation is an important part of our spiritual life with Jesus. It's to make sure, are we actually listening? Are we actually thinking about this? Are we actually attentive? Consideration is an incredibly important part in this whole chapter about parables. Because do you remember, in between telling the parable and then explaining the parable, what happens? What happens is those disciples came to Jesus and said, could you tell us why you are doing this? Because we're struggling to figure out what's going on here. And Jesus explains, well, you're blessed if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Some are not going to understand this. But I'm blessing you that you would have a grace to hear and understand. So at the intersection of this parable being told and this parable being explained, Jesus gives us another big word that starts with C, the word comprehension. Comprehension is the ability to understand something. So it's not just to contemplate it and to see it, it's to actually understand it. To know that it's true and that it's important and that it can be outworked and that I should pay attention to this and it should matter. It's not just about seeing something, it's about the fact that I am going to be able to use this in real life. And at the end of explaining the parable to the disciples, at the very end of this whole scene, he doubles down on this comprehension piece. He says this, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who went into their sheds and did the hard work of making the soil good? No. It represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. We could just rewrite that. The good soil just represents people who are contemplating and comprehending. We could rewrite that as the people who are paying attention and who are putting it into work in their lives. Jesus is going to go on to tell a stack of parables. You know this, right? If you've read the Gospels, you'll know this is the first of many. He's going to tell all these lessons about the kingdom of God. He's going to paint so many pictures about what the kingdom of God is like. And there's this bunch of people who should know about this, but they don't understand it. Does anyone know who those people are? Pharisees. I heard it whispered very gently over here. Well done. The Pharisees. The Pharisees are these people who, they should know this, but they keep missing the point of what Jesus is talking about. Because the reality is this, they are not willing to listen and understand because they think they've already seen and they think they already know. It's the great enemy of contemplation and comprehension around Jesus. I've already seen, I already know. But actually the Pharisees, The Pharisees get pointed out by Jesus. Jesus points to their life near the end of Matthew's gospel. He points to their life and he says, by looking at the fruit of their lives, you can see their hearts. As you look at the life they are living, it's showing you something real that's inside them, and it's not good. Jesus points to their life and he says, there is no fruitful harvest coming off them because their hearts are unclean. The fruitful harvest shows the condition of the soil. Any good farmer knows that. Any of us who have got an agricultural touch will know this. The successful harvest you have at the end of the season showed you that at the very start, when you put the seed in the ground, you had good soil to start with. That's what it shows us. So Jesus goes on in the rest of verse 23, and he uses that as the landing point of this parable. He says, the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word, and they produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much that has been planted. What a picture. This little seed goes in the ground, but because the soil was the right soil, the potential for the harvest is in that seed, and in it goes, and the right things mix, and the right thing comes out. A vibrant, huge harvest. And this is the mysterious and strange part of today's parable. It's mysterious and strange because all our lives we have been told, since we were this high, we've been told over and over again that if you want to see something amazing grow, you have to work hard. We get told it over and over again. If you do the mahi, then you get the treats. If you put in the hours, you'll get the results. This parable's completely upside down. This parable is not telling us that at all. This parable is telling us it doesn't start with your work. It starts with grace. It just starts with the fact that this is a gift. It's something God, as the generous sower, is putting out. And if you are receptive to receive it, then something beautiful is going to grow without you even going into the tool shed to make it happen. This parable tells us this mysterious truth that if we want to see a huge harvest in our lives, in the city, good things coming out of us or in this church out into the world, then the starting point to that whole harvest is, are we open, receptive, willing to listen and understand grace? Do we understand grace? Do we understand that this is a gift? Don't rush into the tool shed. Don't grab your tools just yet. Just stop and check. Have you been receptive to grace? Are you still receptive to grace? Are you still soft, open, spacious when it comes to the potential of what God might do in you and in others and in the world? Or have you become closed up, narrow, choked up, hard, shallow, thorny, and on and on and on I could go. Do you see the picture? Do you see the picture? This is the first parable of many parables, and the mysterious lesson here is this is grace. All of it's grace. Eugene Peterson says this. It wouldn't be a sermon by Dan without getting Eugene out, so here we go. Grace is not something you can get, it is something that gets you. Grace is not something you can get, it is something that gets you. The sower is throwing his grace everywhere. There's a part of your heart that is spacious for that. There's a part of your heart that is going to find that hard to believe today. But may grace get you anyway. Amen. So as you walk through this week, as you go to the school gate, as you clock into work tomorrow, as you go to the cafe, the office, the noisy kitchen that you have to cook dinner in tomorrow night, as you go to the hospital to pick up your wife after she's been there for weeks, as you sit in your car in traffic tomorrow or the public transport that you take to work, as you join your circle in the middle of the week and you have a conversation about this, I want you to try and remember these four things about this parable. Number one, God is generously at work sowing his kingdom everywhere. Number two, God's kingdom is met with hostility. Number three, the kingdom either doesn't get in enough, it gets tangled, or it grows. And number four, that good soil is about being willing to hear and understand grace. Amen. You too. Stand with me, everybody. And just as we finish today, I know we've had a lot in our gathering. We've had worship and we've sung, we've had communion and we've eaten and drinking, we've had baptism story, we've had prayer, we've had all kinds of bits and pieces. But just in this last few minutes, could I make some space for you that would feel good soilish, just spacious? I just want to tell you, you don't have to perform in this moment. You don't have to tick the right boxes. But what you do need to do is just stay open, tender, receptive, willing to contemplate God and what God might be doing with you. And be willing to comprehend that. Be willing to take that in and understand that. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and awaken us to the seed that has already been thrown into our hearts. Thank you that you have already been at work in the field of our lives. Thank you that you are the good sower who is already standing and throwing the generous, gracious gift of your kingdom into us. Lord, we haven't had time to go get the tools out of the shed. We haven't had time to look impressive. We haven't had time to get the garden looking right, but yet you're doing it anyway. You're just throwing it in. You're just placing the good things of your kingdom in us. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. We give you glory and praise that you are the generous sower, so graciously sowing into our lives when none of us have deserved it or earned it. And Lord, we just look at our hearts. We look at the condition of our hearts and we realize that it is true that right now there will be hardness in our hearts somewhere. It's just true. It's nothing to be ashamed of and it's nothing to hide. It's just true. There is parts of our hearts that are hardened. Hardened to you and your kingdom, hardened to love, hardened to the way that you're at work in us, hardened to community, hardened that we can't even receive the good thing that you are wanting to put in our lives. Sometimes it's hardened because people have trampled it, pressed it down, walked over it many times, like a path. Lord, we trust you to be the good gardener who is going to do something about that. We trust you. We trust you to bring healing. We trust you to restore and redeem that story. Lord, there's a part of our heart that is shallow. There's a part of our heart that we wish was deeper, we'd love it to be deeper, but it just isn't. Would you bring attention to the areas where we are lethargic when it comes to the work of your kingdom and you're desiring so much more to be done, yet we're just shallow. We're making excuses way too quickly. We don't have a depth of character to keep following things through. We don't have a sense of perseverance. God, would you make us deeper people? Lord, would you raise up a deeper generation in the church where shallowness would not be our story? But depth would be. Would you make our hearts deep hearts, Lord? Lord, there's parts of our hearts that are entangled. There's parts of our hearts that are tied up with various idols and various wrong ideas. We trust you to be the good gardener who's going to sort that out and do something about that with us. Would you give us eyes to see the things that are robbing the work of your kingdom from receiving everything it should have in our lives? Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the things that we have in our garden that are weeds and we think they're pretty. You know, I just have a picture as I pray that. There's this thing in our garden at home that my wife is trying to kill without my mother-in-law knowing about it. So she's spraying it when she's not looking because she's trying to get rid of it because my mother-in-law wants to keep it, but it's a weed. It's so annoying. But I just think that's a picture for some of us today. Like, we're actually living with some weeds thinking they're okay, and they're not. Like, allow the Lord to come and get rid of them. They're not okay. Why are they not okay? Because they're robbing the work of the kingdom from being all it can be. They're choking out the seed that is meant to grow into good things. So Lord, where there's weeds, would you do your good gardening work? Come and be the good, holy landscaper of our hearts. And lastly, Lord, we pray for good soil. We pray that we'd be able to contemplate and comprehend. Even today, Lord, as we've stood and prayed our way through this parable, would we have greater sense of what it is? Help us to contemplate it. Help us to comprehend it. Help us to hear and understand that we may go into the world as the people of grace. Not that we'd be a more impressive Christian. Not that we'd be a more impressive person able to say more impressive things, but that we'd just be more aware of grace, alive to grace, alive in your gracious kingdom. So Jesus, you said that it would be a blessing that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. I bless our church today. I bless each one here with that wonderful gift of eyes to see and ears to hear. That these words would not just be an idea, but that they would be a living analogy of what you're doing as you bring the kingdom into our lives. In your name we ask these things. In the name of Jesus. Amen.